So now, in the next section that we are going to see, he is going to describe how the Paramatma meditating yogi achieves liberation. What he practices to achieve liberation, that's what we are going to see now. Okay. Before we proceed further, if there are any quick questions, comments based on what we discussed this morning, maybe few minutes we can take. Can you pass the mic to Prabhuji?
The stage of nishtha for these meditators is mostly dharana or dhyana or in between of them.
I don't know. I mean, it must be something like even at the stage of dharana, there is mentioned that after one has reached some steadiness. So, I don't know if you can exactly map whether the nishtha for them is at the stage of dharana or dhyana. I'm not sure whether if there is a direct correlation like that. I'm not very sure.
It's looking like in between, you know.
Maybe, yeah. Okay. So now we are, yes.
You described Krama.
Krama, I have not described Krama, no, we are going to discuss.
Okay, because I didn't understand properly that yogi has material desires, some material desires. Because of it, he goes by this path.
Krama, yeah.
Yes, and when he passes this different planets, his heart purifies.
Not by just going there, but after going there, he gives up those desires. He enjoys for some time and then he realizes, okay, I am done with it. I don't want to enjoy it anymore. Then he goes to the next planet and enjoys there for some time, gives it up, then goes like that.
But, when he comes out from material world, he doesn't have material desires, yes?
No. Yeah. Okay, we'll continue. So now in this section, now he is going to describe how the Paramatma meditating yogi is going to achieve liberation by the practice of Ashtanga Yoga. Stiram sukam cha sanamastito yatir yada jihasur imamangalokam kale cha deshe cha manona sajjayet pranan niyachen manasa jitasuhu. He says, O king, yada yatihi means the yogi who is renounced, basically one who is renounced. When the renounced yogi, stiram sukam cha asanamastita, when he is properly situated in the proper asanam, jihasur imam lokam, when he desires to give up this material world, after reaching the stage of dharana, dhyana and samadhi, when he desires to give up the world, kalecha deshecha manona sajjayet, he does not attach the mind to time or place. He does not think, I want to give up my body at this particular time, uttarayana or dakshinayana, like that. He does not think. Whereas the others, in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if you see, Agnir Jyotir Aha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Yogi Prayata Gacchanti Brahma Brahma Vidojana, like that it is mentioned that they get attached to particular times when they want to give up their body. But at the end of this chapter, of the 8th chapter, Krishna says, Naite sriti partha janan yogi muyyati kaschana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavarjuna. He says, na ete sriti, these two paths that have been discussed, one is the path of krama mukti to attain brahma jyoti, the second is the path of, he goes to various swarga and then comes back, the pravritti marga and the nivritti marga. After describing these two, he says, Yogi ete sriti na muyyati. A real yogi is not bewildered by these two paths. Which means he does not try to give up his body. He is not attached to particular time and place to give up his body. Anytime, you know, he is, because he is not attached to anything of this material world. So he wants to, so that's what is indicated here. Kalecha deshecha manona sajjayet. His mind is not attached to a particular time or place to give up his body. Jita asuhu pranan niyachet manasa. And conquering his life, he controls the senses by the mind. Basically, it is mentioned here that the Paramatma meditating yogi, he performs yama, niyama, asana, proper asana, then pranayama, controls his mind, then controls the senses. And he has now developed a desire to give up his body. And such a person does not, is not attached to particular time, place to give up that body. That is the mental state of that yogi, qualification of that yogi that is indicated here. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, what can the devotees learn from this verse? Because almost always when Ashtanga Yoga is described, and in which Paramatma meditation is described, Prabhupada always brings it back to deity worship. For an Ananya Bhakta, there is no opportune moment to leave the body. So this is not just for this yogi, but also a devotee does not think, oh, is this a good time to give up the body? Or is this not a good time? He does not think like that. Only imperfect mixed devotees require an opportune moment to leave their body, as it is mentioned in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Just like a successful yogi controls his senses through the mind and mind through yoga, a bhakti yogi controls his senses and mind by engaging them in devotional service. This is the easier way. Instead of controlling the senses by the mind and controlling the mind by pranayama and all that, the easier way is to engage Savai Manakrishna Padara Vindayor Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane. Engage all the senses and mind in the service of the Lord. That is the easiest way to control the mind and senses like that. Manaswabudhya Malaya Niyamya Kshetragya Etam Ninayetam Atmani Atmanam Atmanya Varudhya Diro Labdo Pashantir Virameta Krityat. So after that, it is mentioned that when he decides to give up his body, when he decides to give up his body means which body? Gross body or subtle body? Subtle body, because liberation means giving up subtle body. Giving up gross body is called transmigration. Giving up subtle body is called liberation. As Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Gatasun agatasunscha nanu shochanti pandita. He says, a learned person does not lament for gata asuhu. Asuhu means life air. Gata asuhu means that from which the life air leaves. So the life air generally moves with the subtle body. Okay. So gata asuhu means that from which the life air leaves. What is that? What is gata asuhu? What is addressed as gata asuhu? Gross body. Because during transmigration, the prana leaves with the subtle body from one gross body to another gross body. Okay. And he says, agata asun. Agata asuhu means that from which the prana does not leave. Prana does not leave which one? The subtle body. And cha indicates the soul. Which means, Krishna says, a wise person does not lament for the destruction of the gross body. He does not lament for the destruction of the subtle body. And he does not lament for the destruction of the soul. Why? Because why does he not lament for the destruction of the gross body? Because even while living, the gross body is dying at every moment. Where is our childhood body? It's gone. After some time, this body will also go away. And an old body will take over. Right? So, because he understands that even while living, the gross body's nature is always to die. So he does not lament. Why does he not lament for destruction of subtle body? Because destruction of subtle body means liberation. Therefore he does not lament. Why does he not lament for the destruction of the soul? Because soul cannot be destroyed. Okay. So, Krishna says, Pragyavadamsha bhashase. You are talking like a very learned man. But don't you know this basic thing? Gatasun, agatasun, cha, na anushochanti pandita. A real learned person does not lament for the destruction of gross body or subtle body or soul. Like that. So he says, he merges the mind into the pure intelligence and merges the intelligence into the witnessing jiva. He merges the witnessing jiva into the pure jiva and he merges the pure jiva into the Brahman. Having done so, the yogi attains cessation of material life. Labdha upashanti. It's called labdhopashanti and withdraws from all action. So this indicates how he becomes a jivan mukta. So there is the stage of jivan mukta, which is Brahman realization, which happens before he actually attains liberation. So this stage of labdhopashanti is actually when he attains the stage of jivan mukta or Brahman realization. So what does he do? He offers the mind to the intelligence, offers the intelligence to the soul, and offers the soul in the Brahman. Because Prabhupada in the first canto describes what exactly it is. He says this is a mental way of offering. We know Indriyani Paranyahur, Indriyabhya Parammanaha, Manasastu Parabuddhir, Yo Buddhe Paratastu Saha. Okay. The senses are superior to the sense objects. Mind is superior to the senses. Intelligence is superior to the mind. And the soul is superior to the intelligence. So therefore, he basically is offering, my dear Lord, I don't need the material mind anymore. Because I don't want to stay in this material world. Oh, intelligence, you are the controller of the mind. So you please take it back. And he says, oh, I don't need the material intelligence also anymore. And he offers it to the soul. Because yo buddhe paratastu saha. The soul is superior even to intelligence. And then the mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. So he offers the soul to the Brahman. Which means it's a mental offering, that of detaching oneself from the subtle body also. After having realized the Brahman, after Brahman realization, one offers it. Like that. Yeah. Soul does not need the mind intelligence to function. Only because of, like for example, let me think of an example. Like now we may think that, how can I function without a smartphone? But actually, for the functioning of a human being, smartphone is not needed. But because we have so much identified our whole life with smartphone, we think that, oh, how can I function without a smartphone? So therefore, when the living entity starts identifying with the material body, then he thinks that, oh, I need the gross body, I need the subtle body, I cannot function without it. But actually the living entity does not need. The soul is capable of performing the function of mind, intelligence, everything. Like that. Yeah, that's not material. Yes, bro. Correct. Yeah, but one can spiritualize it also.
That is the case. If soul, if mind, intelligence merge in the soul, that means mind, intelligence doesn't
It's just a mental offering. It is not literal. It is just a way of telling, I don't have a need for this anymore. You please take it back like that. It's just an offering. Yeah. He is detaching himself. I'm no longer going to identify with the mind or intelligence like that.
It's mind, intelligence, soul, both are all are together.
I mean, don't take it like that. It's not like that. The point is, eventually, everything gets merged into the pradhan. And the soul goes to the soul without any of these coverings goes and merges in the Brahman Jyoti, like that. So that stage is called as Labdhopashanti. Labdha Upashanti means he has attained a cessation of material life. No longer he has any material consciousness. So now he is a Jivan Mukta. Okay. Let's move on. What is the nature of this Jivan Mukta? What is this state of Labdhopashanti? Nayatra kalo nimisham para prabhu kuto nu deva jagatamya ishire nayatra sattvam narajastamascha navai vikaro namahan pradanam. So in this person, time, the controller of the devatas, has no influence. If time, which is the controller of the devatas, has no influence, kutonu deva, what then to speak of the devatas themselves, who themselves are controlled by time? If time itself cannot has any influence, how can the devatas who are controlled by time, how can they influence this person? Jagatamya ishire, they may control the universe, but they cannot control this person. Nayatra sattvam narajas tamascha. In him, there is no sattva, rajas or tamas. Because he has given up the path of jnana or yoga, whatever he was practicing, which had the element of sattva, he has given that up also. And also all the, where do the gunas reside? Where do the gunas reside? Of course, in the person. Where in the person? In the vasanas. Actually, gunas can be present in two places. One is in the vasanas, another is in the shraddha. Shraddha. Okay? So, when they are present in the vasanas, they inspire different kind of desires. Some sattvic desires, some rajasic desires, some tamasic desires, like that. And when they are present on the level of faith, then they give rise to different types of value system, or nishta, or conviction. Okay? See, desires are of two kinds. Okay. Desires may be born out of our conditioning or swabhava. Our desires can be born out of our value system or shraddha. Okay. So, I'll ask you some simple questions. You can try to easily identify. See, desires born out of conditioning means they work in terms of likes and dislikes. And desires born out of value system act on the platform of right and wrong. This is right, this is wrong. Okay? Now I will ask you a few questions, you answer. Okay? How many of you have a desire for chanting good rounds? Okay? Where is that? What kind of desire is it? Is it born out of one's value system or conditioning? Value system, right? How many of you have a desire to please your spiritual master? So what kind of a desire is it? Value system, right? How many of us are troubled by lust, anger, greed, those kind of desires? Anyone? So, they are desires, right? So, we want to eat, you know, fancy food, or we want to enjoy in particular ways. We want a particular kind of phone or laptop or whatever it may be. How many of us have that kind of desires? Right? Where is it born out of? Huh? Conditioning, right? But these are also desires which are there. And these are also desires which are there. But these two are two different kinds of desires. Okay? These kinds of desires which are born out of our swabhava are called as anarthas. Srila Vishnachari Thakur defines the word anartha in his book Madhurya Kadambani as unwanted desires. Okay? And these desires which are born out of one's value system are called as abhilasha. Okay? So, pure devotional services Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, which means one should not have any desire born out of their value system which is other than the desire to please Krishna. But pure devotional service is not Anya Anartha Shunyam. Anarthas may be there while one is practicing pure devotional service, and it gets destroyed by practice of pure devotional service. That is what is called as anartha nivritti. Correct? So, the three modes generally affect either our swabhava or our shraddha. Okay? So, if the three modes affect our conditioning, let's say if mode of goodness affects our conditioning, then we will say, Prabhuji, this sabji is too spicy. Please give me something, you know, very non-spicy. Okay, one may say. Okay, so that is like, I don't like spicy food. That's like sort of sattvaguni conditioning. I am very regulated. Sattvaguni conditioning. mode of passion can also affect one's swabhava or past impressions. Okay, so we may say that, oh Prabhuji, I am constantly agitated by lust. I am constantly agitated by, I always want to eat something very fancy, palatable, like that. You know, that is generally born out of mode of passion conditioning. And mode of ignorance also affects one's swabhava, which one may get attracted to intoxication and drugs and things like that. You know, that's how mode of ignorance affects one's swabhava. Okay. And Shraddha is also pure initially. So the pure Shraddha makes one perform pure devotional service. But sometimes when the Shraddha gets contaminated by the three modes, then one performs Sattvic Bhakti. Or Rajasic Bhakti. Or Tamasic Bhakti. Okay. So Sattvic Bhakti means one may perform, one may worship Krishna or Vishnu, but for attaining liberation. Okay. For destroying the karmas. For destroying all of one's sinful reactions or pious reactions and attain liberation. So that is Sattvic Bhakti. Rajasic Bhakti means one may perform, one may worship the Supreme Lord for some material benefits, name, fame, glories, etc. And Tamasic Bhakti means one may worship the Supreme Lord for harming others, like that. But ultimately he will be worshipping. So how is this different from this? Because this person is convinced that for one who is practicing pure devotional service, okay, desire for liberation, which is found here, and liberation and desire for material things, or desire for violence. So for this person, for the person who is practicing pure devotional service, desire for liberation, desire for material things, desire for violence, these are all anarthas for him. But for these people, these are all abhilasha. These are value system. So if you ask a person who is practicing Sattvic Bhakti, he will say, Prabhuji, what do you do? I worship the Supreme Lord. For what purpose? For liberation. You ask him, Prabhuji, but don't you think you should be practicing Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti? So he will say, yeah, I practice Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti only. How? He will say, I have no other desire other than the desire for liberation. That is according to the definition of pure devotee. Correct. That is for the pure devotee. But when you ask the person who is practicing Sattvic Bhakti, he will say, yes, I also have Anyabhilashita Shunyam only. I have no other desire other than the desire for liberation. Which means desire for liberation is his Abhilasha here. Correct, Prabhuji, I am telling. That is from the definition of a pure devotee. We are talking about from the point of view of a person practicing Sattvika Bhakti. He redefines. The person practicing Rajasic Bhakti, he will say, oh, I am practicing Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti. How? I don't desire anything other than what the Vedic path allows by my practice. So each one has, for them, this is material things. So he will tell, Prabhuji, I am worshipping Supreme Lord. For what? For whatever material things I may need, I am worshipping the Supreme Lord. I am not worshipping any demigod. So for him, this is Abhilasha, this is not Anartha. So what is Abhilasha, what is Anartha, depends on the Nishta, the Shraddha of that person. So the Shraddha of that person is also contaminated by the three modes. So when we say the three modes affect a person, the three modes affect these two things, either his conditioning or his value system. If it affects his conditioning, it manifests in the form of various kinds of anarthas. If it affects his value system, it manifests in the form of faith in different kinds of practices. Karma Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Yoga Mishra Bhakti or Shuddha Bhakti. If one's faith is not at all contaminated, then one may practice pure devotional service. But you could have a case, as in the case of sadhakas, they may have a faith which is uncontaminated by the three modes, but they may have a conditioning which is contaminated by the three modes. You understand? Who may not have any other desire other than the desire to please the Lord, but simultaneously they may be troubled by lust, anger, greed, etc. Conditioning. So, the point is, there is a difference between performing devotional service with material desires and performing devotional service for fulfilling material desires. Understand? So, performing devotional service with material desires is sadhaka. One who is practicing sadhana bhakti. He has material desires and he is performing bhakti. Whereas a mixed devotee is one who practices devotional service for fulfilling his other material desires. So he wants liberation. A devotee also has desire for liberation. How? Whenever he is put into trouble, he wants to somehow get out of that trouble. He gets a service which he does not like, he wants to avoid that service. What is that? Desire for mukti only. But ultimately, what is his prayer to the Supreme Lord? He prays, my dear Lord, please make me more surrendered. Let me perform any service that is given to me. That is his prayer. Do you think such a person will go and pray, my dear Lord, please don't give me any service that I don't like? A sincere devotee will not pray like that. If someone prays like that, then he will fall in one of these categories. Generally, devotees will pray, my dear Lord, I am troubled by selfishness, I am troubled by lust, I am troubled by anger. Can you please remove those desires? That's what he prays for. So, a sadhaka, he is embarrassed by these anarthas, which is the three modes which have affected the swabhava. But simultaneously, through the association of pure devotees, he might have received a value system which is pure. So, while one may receive a value system which is pure, it takes some time for the conditioning to get purified. It will take some time. Like, you know, hing, hing, asafoetida. How many of you don't know what is hing or asafoetida? You don't know. What is? You know. How many of you don't know? Everyone knows what is perangayam. You know. So, if let's say you decide that I don't want hing anymore, you have a big dabba of hing, you throw it out, wash the dabba nicely, and put some, let's say, some sugar in it. Okay? You smell that sugar, it will smell like what? Hing. That is vasana. Vasana also means smell. So it takes some time for the vasana to go away. Even though you have decided, I don't want hing, I want only sugar in this box. Sugar has come, but along with sugar, what is there? The vasanas are there. The hing, smell is there. It takes, sometimes it takes 2-3 years for it to go away. Because hing has a very sharp fragrance. It won't go away easily. It takes some time to go. So the point is, the three modes can affect both the value system or it can affect the conditioning. When it affects the conditioning, it manifests in the form of various kinds of unwanted desires. But when it affects the value system itself, then it manifests in the form of these different kinds of spiritual practices, like that. Now that's just a brief, because we always say, Prabhuji, I am troubled by the three modes, I am troubled by the three modes. So we have to understand, where do the three modes trouble? Where do they create that trouble? So they generally create the trouble in our vasanas or conditioning, past impressions. They get stored there and they inspire us to act in particular ways, like that. That nayatra sattvam narajas tamascha. This person is not affected by sattva, rajas or tamas, which means he has no vasanas. That's what it means. Is it clear? He has no vasanas which is pushing him in a particular direction. Karyate hi avashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. He has no prakriti jair guna. He has no sattva, rajas, tamas impressions which are pushing him to act in a particular way. So therefore he does not act. Navai vikaro namahan pradhanam. He has no false ego, no mahatattva, no prakriti. These terminologies we will discuss little later when we come to the fifth chapter. We will discuss these terminologies in little more detail. What exactly they are, what is this mahatattva, what is this pradhan, like that we will discuss. So here he is describing the state of Brahman realization, which is called as Labdhopashanti here. Okay. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, time does not act on the transcendental plane. This is true either for a perfected yogi who has reached the stage of Labdhopashanti, or this is also true for a devotee, even though it may affect the demigods even up to Brahma. So time may affect the demigods even up to Brahma, but it does not affect the devotee. Because every act that he does, he is going, every act of devotional service that he performs, he is going one step closer to eternal life. What is that verse? Uttama Shloka Vartaya. What is that? Nah, not that. Second canto only one verse is there. Anyway. Okay. Such a devotee by practice of ananya bhakti is a gunatita, sagunan samatita itan brahma bhuyaya kalpate, like that. He is not affected by mode of goodness or mode of passion or mode of ignorance. Such a person is also transcendental to the false ego. Navai vikaro namahan pradhanam, like that. Navai vikara here refers to false ego. Okay. We will discuss these concepts later. Okay. Any comments, discussion before we move on? Any quick questions based on what we have discussed till now?
Prabhu, you are explaining regarding this desire. conditioning when guna affects because of the condition, correct? So then question might come, then how can one become free from this condition?
How can one become free from the conditioning?
Condition, yeah.
Cheto darpana marjanam param vijayate Shri Krishna.
Again, that is connected with this again value system.
Yeah, if you have the right value system, then you can overcome. That is the point. If you have bhakti, sagunan samati teetan brahma boyaya kalpate. Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. So if one has the right value system, then one can overcome if he is practicing it properly. But if one does not have the proper value system, he is not even bothered about overcoming the three modes.
Again, if you take the example like that hing, you know, asophodita, that even in condition is true, also he is trying to be pure, still some kind of smell remains.
It remains, but not eternally. After some time it also goes away, if the person is sincerely practicing. So it won't remain. After 4 years, the smell will go away. If you persistently wash it every time, if you keep on washing it and replacing it, then one day it will go away actually. Generally, we don't have patience. That's a problem. Utsahan nischayat dairyat. So, when we have that proper patience, then over a period of time it goes away. We have to have trust in the process, that the process works. I just have to continue sincerely practicing the process. One day it will be removed. Like that. Can you pass the mic to Prabhuji? How do we, what Prabhuji? Can you take the mic? How long?
How long we should practice to be free from condition situation?
Oh, how long?
Not how long.
Till what
till
stage?
Till which stage? Yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, this is described in great detail in this book called Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishnachakadi Thakur. He mentions that there are four different kinds of anarthas which are produced. One is anarthas which are born out of our past conditioning, anarthas which are born out of aparad, anarthas which are born out of one's improper practice of bhakti, like that. So he says that some of them are almost gone at the stage of anarthanivritti, some of them are almost gone at the stage of nishta, and some are completely gone at the stage of nishta. Like that he describes. We can go over it. I don't exactly recollect at what stage what goes. But he explains that at the stage of bhava, some very little anarthas may be there which are born out of some serious offenses. But most of it is completely gone at the stage of ruchi or asakti. Most of the conditionings or anarthas are almost like more or less gone completely.
And how is it with body? Yes, we have some differently condition of body. This can be like you say, I like diet maybe. You know, if you don't take spices for that, your body should be not sick, you know.
Correct.
And every time condition, or is it can be also part of the...
See, one may become sick also, but that sickness may not affect him. That sickness may not affect his practice of devotional service. So the body may get affected, but one may not get affected by the affected body. You know, body may become sick, but the person's practice of devotional service will go on without any problem.
Okay.
So that is possible. Okay. Like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Parampadam vaishnavamamananti tad yanneti netitya tadutsya srikshavah visrajya dauratnya mananya sauhrida hrudopaguhyarha padam pade pade. So who are these yogis? One may think, oh, these must be some impersonalists or something like that. Here it is mentioned, Atad Utsisirkshava. These yogis desire to give up the world which is not Brahman. Though they want to give up, but they don't actually give up. Because if they would have given up, then they would not be able to practice their sadhana. We discussed earlier that they accept from this world whatever little is needed to keep their body and soul together. So they don't completely give up also. Tat parampadam vaishnavam amananti. They thoroughly realize the impersonal aspect of Vishnu. Okay? Vaishnavam padam here refers to Brahman, the impersonal aspect. So these yogis who desire to give up this material world, they realize the Brahman aspect, which was indicated in the previous verse, Labdhopashanti. And what is that Brahman? What is that Vaishnavam padam? Yad neti neti iti. That which is described as neti neti. Not this, not this, not this, which is the Brahman feature. And in trying to realize this Brahman feature, Visrajya Dauratmyam, Atma here refers to the intelligence. Because Atma could refer to the soul, Atma could refer to the mind, Atma could refer to the intelligence, Atma could refer to the body, it could refer to many things. So in this context, Atma refers to intelligence, Duratma refers to bad intelligence. Dauratmyam refers to bad intelligence. Visrajya, he gives up the bad intelligence. What is that bad intelligence? That intelligence which says the Supreme Lord is impersonal, or the absolute truth is impersonal. You know, all these various kinds of improper sambandha jnana he does not have, which means he accepts the personal form of the Lord. Visrajya Dauratmyam Ananya Sauhrida, and he also avoids everything not related to the Supreme Lord, which means he accepts those which are related to the Supreme Lord. And what does he do? What does he actually accept? Upaguhya Pade Pade Arha Padam Hrida. He embraces the lotus feet of the heart, or lotus feet of the Lord within his heart. At every moment. But what is his aspiration? What is his aspiration? Merging in the Brahmajyoti. But who is this? Whom does he worship? The personal form of the Lord. Hrudopa guhya arha padam pade pade. So, one may aspire for, one's aspiration can be Brahmajyoti. One's prayojan can be Brahma Jyoti. But one's abhideya has to be personal form of the Lord. Or at least a part of his abhideya must be worship of the personal form of the Lord. So that's what is indicated here. He eventually goes and merges in the Brahma Jyoti only. But hridopa guhya arha padam pade pade. He embraces the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart at every moment. That's what is indicated here. Okay. Can you try to recollect what we saw in this verse? What are the characteristics of this yogi? Try to recollect. You can either recollect the Sanskrit or you can recollect the translation. But recollection means not looking at the book or your phone. Try to recollect. Go ahead. Whatever you heard, what are the characteristics of this yogi? Yeah. Huh? Pure heart. Okay, where was pure heart indicated? Can you explain what is pure heart? He wanted only liberation. Okay. What else? Anything else you can recollect? Huh? Nay, that's okay. What we saw in this last verse that you try to recollect. What did we see? This verse. Not this verse. I have changed it. Yeah. He understands the personality of Godhead. Not only that, he worships that personality within his heart. Hridopa guhya arha padam pade pade. What else? He perfectly realizes that Brahman. Tad Vaishnavam padam amananti. And what is that Brahman? Yad neti neti iti. That which is described as na iti na iti. Not this, not this, like that. What else? Visrijya dauratmyam. He gives up the bad intelligence which says that the Lord is impersonal or Lord is not there or whatever. Or the impersonal feature is superior to the personal feature. All that kind of bad intelligence he gives up. One more thing. That's over. That's over. One point. Ananya sauhrida. He gives up everything that is not connected to Krishna. That is not connected to the Lord. Which, but he accepts that which is connected to the Lord. You see? So, I think we should do this exercise more because you are not attentive. Okay? So, okay, here Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport. Why is such a yogi a gunatita? Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes. Why is he a gunatita? He says, because he is superior to Prakriti, he has attained the impersonal form of Vishnu, which is called as Vaishnavam Padam. Desiring to give up the false world, they completely know that Brahman, which is defined as Neti Neti. Vaishnavam Padam Amananti. They perfectly understand the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord. And they desire to give up that which is not connected to the Supreme Lord. Ananya Sauhrida. But how do they attain this? He says, Visrujya Dauratmyam. They give up the bad intelligence of the jivas who are involved in impersonal Brahman alone. Those who think that if I have to attain impersonal Brahman, I have to worship the impersonal Brahman. That is Dauratmyam, bad intelligence. Or if they think that absolute truth is impersonal, that is Dauratmyam. They don't have this wrong understanding. They have the right Sambandha Gyan. But how could they give up this bad intelligence? He says, Ananya Sauhrida. By giving up affection for things not related to Krishna, they could give up that bad intelligence. Like that. And such yogis, Hridopa Guhya Arha Padam Pade Pade, they embrace the lotus feet of the Lord within their heart at every moment. Which means they don't give up the path of bhakti. The element of bhakti they don't give up. Eventually they give up the element of jnana or yoga. That they give up. But the element of bhakti they don't give up. Okay. Now I am going to do another exercise. Okay. I will read some sections of purport by Prabhupada. Okay. You have to listen carefully and tell me what part of this verse Prabhupada is talking about. You understand? So I will read a line. You tell me, oh, Prabhupada is talking about Vaishnavam Padam. Oh, Prabhupada is talking about Upaguhya Pade Pade. He is talking about embracing the lotus feet of the Lord within the heart. Like that. This exercise is important because you have to try to relate the purport to the verse. If you can do that, then you can remember the purport easily. And also you will get the conviction that the acharyas do not write whatever they want. Whatever they write is connected to the verse. That is important to understand. So I will read some sections of Prabhupada's purport. And you tell me what part of this verse Prabhupada is talking about. So you have to be a little attentive. Okay, I will read, and whenever I pause, you tell me what is Prabhupada talking about. Okay. Pure devotees of the Lord are absolutely in harmony with the personality of Godhead, or in other words, they always think of the Lord as their only dependable friend and well-wisher. Ananya Sauhrida, he's talking about. They do not care for any mundane creature up to the status of Brahma, the Lord of universe. Okay. You can say this is also Atad Utsisrikshava. They desire to, Ananya Sauhrida. Avoiding everything not related to the Lord. They want to give up. Okay. Only they can definitely have a clear vision of the Vaikuntha planets. Vaishnavam padam mamananti. Such pure devotees, being perfectly directed by the Supreme Lord, do not create any artificial perplexity in the matter of transcendental understanding. Visrajya dauratmyam. Is it clear? Nor do they concern themselves with many obscure speculative theories, which are in actuality so many stumbling blocks on the path of transcendental understanding. Visrajya dauratmyam. So therefore, it is important to understand the word meanings and then understand the translation, and then the purport becomes very clear. Why Prabhupada is writing what he is writing. You understand? So this is very important. You have to regularly keep on doing this exercise, so that it is a trust building exercise actually. Otherwise you will think, oh, Prabhupada repeats the same thing in every purport. But if you do this exercise, you will see Prabhupada is not repeating. Bhagavatam is repeating the same thing again and again. So this is a trust building exercise, and also it keeps you sharp. You have to be, we can't just listen everything. So we have to try to connect it to the verse, because when the acharyas write, they write it with a specific purpose. It is very much connected to the verse what they are writing. Okay. I will read one more section of the purport. You try to do the exercise again. A pure devotee of the Lord no longer wastes valuable time in discriminating the Brahman from non-Brahman, because he knows perfectly well that the Lord Parabrahman, by his Brahman energy, is interwoven in everything, and thus everything is looked upon by a devotee as the property of the Lord. Neti Neti, he talks about it, and he also talks about Ananya Sauhrida. He avoids everything not connected to the Lord. Like that. The devotee tries to engage everything in his service and does not create perplexities by falsely lording it over the creation of the Lord. Visrajya dauratmyam. Okay. So like that. So that is this personality who performs this practice of meditating on the Paramatma form of the Lord. Even though he wants to merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, but his understanding is very clear, at least to some extent. Now that he has reached the stage of Brahman realization, from the stage of Brahman realization, how does he actually merge in the Brahman? How does he give up the gross body? He has given up the subtle body. How does he give up the gross body and go and merge in the Brahma Jyoti? That's what we are going to see now in this. Hmm. Yeah. So his understanding is, his understanding of prayojan is, I want to merge in the Brahma Jyoti. And his understanding of Abhideya is, to achieve that, I need to worship the personal form of the Lord. But he is not convinced that the goal of my life is to establish a relationship with this person. Like, for example, you may go to a shop to buy something. You have trust that if I pay him money, he will give me this thing. But you may not have the desire to establish a relationship with that person. But that shopkeeper's own son or daughter or wife, they don't deal with him only as a shopkeeper. But they are also convinced that he is my father, he is my husband, like that. So similarly, a yogi or a jnani, he may worship the personal form of the Lord. That much conviction is there. But he may not have the conviction that here is a personality and the goal of my life should be to establish a relationship with that person. That Shraddha they do not have. Like that. It all boils down to the association. Because he does not have the association of pure devotees, therefore he has not developed that Shraddha. Therefore he does not want to establish a relationship with the Supreme Lord. There is 90% of the Sambandha Gyan is right. But you can't say it is right or wrong, but in the sense, basically his prayojan is different, therefore his abhideya is also slightly different. Sambandha Gyan is more or less same. Except that he may not agree that Jivera Swarupai Krishnara Nitya Das. But he may accept that, I am not this body, I am not this mind, that kind of understanding is there. Atmagyan is clear, but the complete understanding of the Sambandha Gyan as being the servant of Krishna, that may not be there. So after reaching the stage of Brahman realization, how does one transcend and actually merge in the Brahma Jyoti? That's what we are going to see now. Ittam munistu paramedvyavastito vijnana drigvirya surandhitashayah swaparshnina pidya gudam tato nilam staneshu shatsunnamayejitaklama. In this way, the yogi situated in Brahman, having destroyed all subtle desires, surandita ashaya. How did he destroy? Vijnana drig virya. Virya means strength. By the strength of his vision of realization. Realization of Brahman. By the strength of the realization of Brahman, he has destroyed all the unwanted desires. Uparamed, he gives up everything. Even though it is difficult to give up, but for him it is not very difficult. Then, how does he eventually merge in the Brahma Jyoti? That he does by performing Shat Chakra Yoga. There are 6 chakras in the bodies which are like subtle energy centers. Okay, so there is Muladhara Chakra, which is in the part of the Muladhara, below the navel. And then at the navel, there is the Swadhisthana Chakra. Then there is Manipuraka Chakra, little more higher. Then there is Vishuddha Anahata Chakra, Vishuddha Chakra, then Agya Chakra. There are like 6 chakras, and the soul which is suspended in the pranavayu, that is raised slowly from the Muladhara Chakra to the Swadhisthana Chakra to Anahata Chakra, like that. And then finally it is forced to escape through the Brahmarandhra. Brahmarandhra is a small opening, soft spot in the head, in the which through which the soul can escape. See, actually, close to the chakras there are other holes also. Like close to the Muladhara chakra there is anus and genital, which through which also the soul can leave. Then there are 7 other holes to the two ears or the two nostrils or two eyes or to the mouth. The soul can leave. So generally, when the soul leaves the body, it leaves through one of these holes. And the hole through which it leaves indicates the destination. Okay. So sometimes people, when they pass away, they open their mouth. It indicates the soul is moving out of the mouth. Sometimes they pass urine and stool just before. That indicates the soul passing through one of the lower holes, which indicates, you know, their destination is not so glorious. So like that. So this yogi, and if the soul passes out of the Brahmarandhra by one's yogic power, it indicates liberation. So basically, what the yogi is going to do through this Shat Chakra Yoga is he is going to move the prana through the various chakras, and through the yogic powers shut down all the other holes through which the soul can potentially pass away. And by his yogic power, he is going to force the soul to pass through the Brahmarandhra so that it can achieve liberation. And Prabhupada again and again mentions this is just a mechanical process. Not completely mechanical, it involves some element of bhakti also. That is why he is able to attain liberation. But nevertheless, this is sort of little mechanical. We don't try to do that. We don't have to do that. When a devotee opens his mouth and the soul leaves, that does not necessarily mean he will not achieve liberation. For a devotee, it's not dependent on all these things. So it is just like you know, if some of you, Pitambara Prabhu has been to GV Brahmachari Ashram, you know, there are windows, there are doors from both the sides. So during monsoon season especially, sometimes dogs and cats enter into our Brahmachari Ashram, because they also want shelter from rain. So they come, they enter. So our one Brahmachari is there. His name is Sri Nandanandan Prabhu. You know, Sri Nandanandan Prabhu. Sometimes what he does, he knows that these cats and dogs, if they come and stay here and they get used to it, then every day they will come. So what he used to do during monsoon is slowly he will anticipate that the cat is going to come today. And he will close all the doors and windows and keep only the main door open. And through the main door, the cat will come inside. He will take a big blanket and he will scream at the top of his voice and run behind the cat. The cat will get scared. And all the other doors and windows are closed. So there is only one main door open. So he'll run out of that door and never come back, because, you know, he got scared because of that whole episode. So basically, the yogi is, what he is doing is, he is closing all the windows. Through his, you know, heels, he presses the Muladhara Chakra, and by that he is putting, stopping the passage of the anus and genitals. Through his Muladhara Chakra, he stops. By, it is mentioned here. Swaparshnina apidya gudam tatonilam. Pressing the Muladhara Chakra, apidya gudam. Gudam means the anus, and the Muladhara Chakra is situated there, in that region. Pressing the Muladhara Chakra with his heel, Jitaklama, without fatigue, he raises the air through the six places. Six places are the six chakras. And eventually pushes it out of the Brahmarandhra. Sometimes in some sampradayas, you know, when the guru is ready to give up his body, the disciple comes, takes a coconut and breaks it on the head of the guru. That eases the opening of the Brahmarandhra so that the soul can pass out. So some way the guru indicates, okay, now do it. So after he raises it through the six chakras, and when it is at the Agya chakra launching pad, the Agya chakra is the launching pad for the soul to get out. So then the disciple comes, takes the coconut, breaks it on the head, and then the Brahmarandhra slightly opens and the soul leaves like that. Yeah? There are some practices like that. So Prabhupada also explains the Shat Chakra Yoga here in these purports, and also in Bhagavad Gita also Prabhupada explains this process of Shat Chakra Yoga like that. So at one shot, at the end of the Shat Chakra Yoga, this yogi gives up his gross body and subtle body, and the soul goes and merges in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. That's what we are going to discuss in the next three verses. Okay. In this way, the yogi situated in Brahman, so he is already Brahman realized, having destroyed all subtle desires by the strength of his vision of realization, gives up everything, even though it is difficult. Pressing the Mooladhara Chakra with his heel, without fatigue, he raises the air through the six places. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the expert yogi who has thoroughly practiced the control of life air by the prescribed method of the yoga system is advised to quit the body as follows. Okay, I will read now. You tell me which part of the verse Prabhupada is talking about. He should plug up the evacuating hole with the heel of the foot. Sva parshnina apidya gudam. Gudam means the anus. And then progressively move the life air on and on to six places. Staneshu satsu unnamayet. Means he has to raise it. Like that. The six places are the navel, abdomen, heart, chest, palate, eyebrows and cerebral pit. Controlling the life air by the prescribed yogic process is mechanical, and the practice is more or less a physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. He's just indicating what kind of process this is. In olden days, such practice was very common for the transcendentalists, for the mode of life and character in those days were favorable. But in modern days, when the influence of Kali age is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise. Concentration of the mind is more easily attained in these days by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Even though Ashtanga Yoga is described, Prabhupada says not practical in this age. The process is bona fide, but people are not capable of practicing it now in this age. Not possible like that. Nabhyam stitam hridyadiropya tasmat udana gatyorasitam nayen munihi tatonu sandaya diyamanasvi swatalumulam shanakair nayeta. The yogi raises the air situated in the navel to the heart and then to the throat through the movement of the udana air which flows upwards. So slowly he raises through Mooladhara Chakra to Swadhisthana Chakra to Manipuraka Chakra to Anahata Chakra to Vishuddha Chakra. And finally, it will come to the Agya Chakra. The Agya Chakra is present in between the two eyebrows. So if you see, the six chakras are the energy centers. subtle energy centers. One of the reasons why we apply tilak in these six, in the 12 places, is if you see, these 12 places cover all the six chakras. And we chant the holy name, Keshavaya Namah, Narayanaya Namah, Madhavaya Namah, Govindaya Namah, Vishnavaya Namah. You see, these 12 places cover the six chakras actually. From Mooladhara to Swadhisthana to Manipuraka to Vishuddhi to and finally the Agya Chakra is at the in between the eyebrows. So we chant Keshavaya Namah and apply Tilak there. So in one way, this is a way of purifying or spiritualizing the subtle body. This is one way of spiritualizing the subtle body by chanting the holy names like that. Okay. So he says, in the next word, in the next verse he says, Tasmat bruvorantaramunnayeta niruddha saptayata nona pekshaha stitva muhurtarda makunta drishtir nirbidya murdam visrajet param gataha. Tasmat bruvorantaramunnayeta. And finally, after going through the five chakras, he comes to the sixth chakra, which is the Agya chakra, which is bruvor antaram. Bruva is the eyebrows. He takes the life air in which the soul is suspended to this place between the eyebrows. Niruddha sapta ayatano, and he blocks all the seven holes. What are the seven holes? Nine holes, but anus and genital he has already mechanically plugged through his heels. But the seven holes are there above. Two nose, two nostrils, two ears, two eyes, six, and one mouth. So he plugs them also. Niruddha sapta ayatano. Stitva muhurtardam. For half a moment he stays there at the Agya Chakra. Anapekshaha. And this soul is completely unattached to this material world. Akunta drishti, very clear vision of where he is going, where he wants to go. Param gataha, and absorbed in that Brahman realization. Nirbidya murdan, he pierces the Brahmarandra. Visrjayet, and gives up the gross body and subtle body and goes and merges in the Brahmajyoti. That is the Shat Chakra Yoga that he performs to attain Brahman liberation. No, the life air carries the soul. And at the time of liberation, like we say that pran chala gaya. So pran chala gaya matlab, pranavayu carrying the soul has left from one gross body to another gross body. That's what it means. Yeah, but here all that vayu is addressed as prana only here. Okay. It takes the soul from one gross body to another gross body. At the time of liberation, even the prana is given up. Gata asuhu. Yeah, at that time the soul gives up the prana also. Prana also, yeah. And then it goes and merges, because prana is again material, it's not spiritual. Yeah, yeah. So, we see that, what is that? Utkramantam, no, not that. In that series of verses it comes. Utkramantam sitamvapi bunjanam vagunanvitam. Before that, one verse before or after, he says that Vayor Gandha Nivashayat. What is that verse? No. Shariram yadavapnoti yachapi utkramati shvaraha grihitva etani samyati Vayor Gandha Nivashayat. The transmigration is described in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Air carrying the aroma. So what is that air? What is the prana? What is vayu? And what is gandha? What is vayu? No. Vayu is the prana vayu along with the soul, and gandha is what? Vasana, the subtle body which is the abode of all vasanas. So vayur gandha nivashayat means the prana vayu along with the soul carries the subtle body which is gandha or vasanas, which is filled with those vasanas. It carries from one grass body to another grass body like that.
Sadhaka leaves his body through Brahmarandra. He's not he's leaving the vayu.
Prana also
so
is
he's
left.
Not carrying that vasana.
This is for transmigration from one grass body to another grass body. So for transmigration vayu is needed. For liberation vayu is not needed. Like that. Because at the time of liberation, the vasana is also left. There is no vasana left. So you don't need the vayu to carry the vasanas. So prana is also left. It only the soul goes and merges in the Brahma Jyoti. Okay. So that is about how the Paramatma meditating yogi attains liberation. Now one topic remains to be discussed. What is that topic? Krama Mukti. How does the Virat Roop meditating yogi, how he attains liberation, we have not seen. I just summarized it. But the actual process we have not seen yet. So that one last part, that's what we are going to discuss now in this section. That is the last part of this chapter. Once we complete, then the second chapter is almost over. Then 2-3 more verses like that. Okay. So we'll start. If there are any final quick comments, questions before we move on to Krama Mukti, we will take for a minute and then we will move on. Okay. Yadi prayasyan nrupaparameshtyam vaihayasanam utayadviharam ashtadipatyam gunasannivaye sahaiva gacchen manasendriyaischa. Now he says, O king, who is the king? Parikshit Maharaj. Yadi prayasyan parameshtyam, if that yogi, apart from liberation, also has a desire for enjoying in Brahmaloka, vaihayasana mutayad viharam, or the playgrounds of the celestial denizens, who are endowed with the Ashtasiddhis. Saha eva gachet manasa indriyaischa. So such a yogi, who is Virat Roop meditating yogi, who still has some additional desires also, he cannot, when he gives up the body, he can give up only the gross body. He cannot give up the subtle body because the vasanas are not destroyed. Of course, he has a desire for liberation. But along with the other desires are also there. So, he moves with his subtle body here. Okay, where he moves, that's what we are going to see now. So, here it is described, such a person does not give up his mind and senses and the time of giving up the body. At the time of giving up his body. What is Prabhupada talking about? I will read again. You try to identify what Prabhupada is talking about in this purport. Such a person does not give up his mind and senses at the time of giving up the body. Saha eva gacchet manasa indriyaischa. He takes the mind and senses. Senses here means subtle body. The subtle body moves. Rather, he goes to those planets with the mind and senses in order to enjoy. Parameshtyam and other places. Just like inquisitive people travel all over the world, less intelligent yogis want to travel to higher planetary systems like Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, like that. So, yeah, Viharam. They want to go all to all these places. Just like, you know, here this person has, he wants to go to Mumbai, but comfortably. He does not want to compromise on the comforts. He says, I want to check out this, 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 and finally attain liberation. I want liberation. So there could be people like this. Isn't it real? There could be people like this who may ultimately want Vaikuntha also, and but they want to reach Vaikuntha comfortably.
There are people in the material world, they want liberation, but before the liberation they want to enjoy.
Correct. Yeah.
They want to do some enjoyment, then we will go. No problem.
Yeah. Like for example, someone may have a desire to crack JEE exam, IIT. He wants to get into IIT. So he's preparing for it. So while preparing, he does not want to spend all his time preparing. Sometime he wants to spend watching TV also. Some sports, some TV. I will watch. I also want to study and get into IIT. Okay. Such people are also there. Of course, so for them, Anya Abhilashita is not Shunyam. So they have the ultimate Abhilasha, and Anya Abhilasha is also there for them. So for them, this Krama Mukti is there. So in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, for attaining Vaikuntha also, this Krama Mukti is given as one possible path for those who could not give up the secondary desires immediately. Okay, fine. At least worship the Supreme Lord. Fine. So they may not meditate on the Virat Purusha, because this is not an Ashtanga Yogic path, but they may actually perform bhakti, but their progress to Vaikuntha may be gradual. They may give up their settled body gradually. But this is not the highest path. This is not the best path. We will discuss that. Like that. So this path is called the Archiradi Marga. So generally it is mentioned that there are 13 destinations. The 13th destination is Satyaloka. Satyaloka, the abode of Brahma. After that, he pierces through the layers of the universe and goes to Brahma Jyoti. But before reaching Satyaloka, there are 12 other planets, which are all like Swarga type planets, where there is material enjoyment only, but subtler and subtler material enjoyment. So it starts with gross, then little more subtle, then little more subtle, then little more subtle, then little more subtle, like that. And in doing that, the yogi goes to that particular planet, and guess who receives that person, that yogi? The presiding deity of that planet comes personally, and he welcomes him, and he arranges for his enjoyment there. So he gets an appropriate gross body through which he can enjoy in that planet. And after he enjoys, he says, okay, that's good enough. I am ready to move on. So at that time, he gives up that gross body, and he gives up some part of the subtle body also. And then the deity, the presiding deity, he escorts that yogi to the next planet. And the presiding deity of that planet, he receives him, and he arranges for all the facilities that are needed. Like whenever a new speaker comes, you know, Brajsundar Prabhu, like when I came, he was standing outside, and you know, Prem Sindhu Gaurang Prabhu, or you know, they may come and receive the speaker. You know, he is like the presiding deity of ISKCON Bhagavat Mahavidyalaya, right? But he comes, receives, and after the course is over, he may come to see off also. Thank you, Prabhuji. This is the rickshaw. You board this rickshaw. It will go to Mathura station. And from Mathura station, you can go, you can board your train like that. Hare Krishna. So like that. So when the, so when these yogis go, these are not ordinary people. See, there are two kinds of people who go to these heavenly planets. One of them are those who go there on the strength of their karma. So for them, Shine Punya Martyalokam Vishanti. They go there and then they come back. But there are others who go to these planets not on the, not just on the strength of their karma, but they go there on the strength of their spiritual practices. Like these Krama Muktas, who have identified their goal as liberation. So such people, because they don't go there on the strength of their karma, they can stay there as long as they want. Okay? And then when they are satisfied, okay, I am satisfied, okay, enough, let me move on. Then they go to the next planet, then to the next planet, then to the next planet, like that. Finally they go to Satyaloka. From there they pierce through the universal coverings and then they go to Brahmajyoti, like that.
Prabhu, when they are enjoying there, they are not getting any contamination?
No, they don't get contaminated. Because they are very clear about their ultimate goal. They don't get... See, to the extent they are contaminated, or to that extent they stay in that planet. But when that particular... Because they have achieved those planets on the strength of their spiritual practice, so therefore it does not bind them there beyond a particular level. When they want to leave, they can leave actually.
Free from vasana. When they are getting liberation, they are free from vasana.
At that time, yes. Yeah.
So when they are going there, so if there is no vasana, how they are enjoying?
Who said there is no vasana?
So they are free from vasana, no?
No. That description is over. That is for a Paramatma meditating yogi. We have started the next section. This is for the Virat meditating yogi. Saha eva gachen manasa indriyascha. Because the vasanas are still there, he goes with the subtle body to these places.
Still they are under gunas.
Yeah, they are under gunas only. Yeah. Uh-huh. They are under gunas. Very much.
Do you have any name this, you said this, that some planets they, you know, go to, do you have any explanation regarding this?
Yeah, next verses are going to discuss about that only. Which planets do they go? It does not give all the 13 planets, neither does Bhagavad Gita nor does Bhagavatam describe all the 13 planets, but some planets are mentioned. Okay. So here it is in the 8th canto, in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 24th verse. Agnir Jyotir Ahashukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gachanti Brahma Brahma Vido Jana. So Brahma Vido Jana, these are people who realize the Brahman, okay, who depart on the path of fire and light. Agnir Jyoti, path of fire and light means the first planet is called the planet of fire or planet of light, like that. Or it's called the Archi. Archi is the first planet. Here it is called as Vaishvanara Loka. So, or Vaishvanara is fire. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrita, Krishna says. So, that is the first planet they go. Therefore, this path is called Archiradi Marga. Marga means path. Archiradi means that which starts with Archi and other 12 like that. So, Aha, Shukla, Shanmasa, Uttarayanam, Brahma Gachanti. They attain Brahman. Eventually, they attain Brahman. But they go through this path. So, this Uttarayanam day, Aha, Shukla, all these things are actually planets, various planets. they are not just time, they are actually planets. This is explained here. The two words Agni and Jyoti indicate the presiding devata of light, which is mentioned in the Shruti. Aha means the deity of the day. Shukla means the deity of the waxing fortnight. Shanmasa Uttarayanam means the presiding deity of the 6 months leading up to the summer solstice. You know, the year is divided into Dakshinayana and Uttarayana. The month is divided into Shukla Paksha and Krishna Paksha, like that. Archiradi refers to the path of light under discussion, in which the first deity is Archi, the Deva of light, and the last being the four-faced Prajapati Brahma, Satyaloka. After reaching Brahma, jnanis and yogis attain liberation along with him at the end of his very long life. So when Brahmaji gives up his, when Brahmaji's life is over, at that time they also attain liberation along with Brahmaji. After 100 years of Brahma, or if they want to, if they are satisfied with staying in Brahma, Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, and they want to leave before Brahma leaves, then also it is possible. Altogether, there are 13 deities on the path of light, all of which are not directly mentioned in the Gita, nor are they mentioned in Bhagavatam. This path is also tread by some devotees. You see here, last but one line. This path is also tread by some devotees, for only the unalloyed devotees are directly delivered by their Lord. Some mixed devotees may also go to Vaikuntha through this path of Archiradi Marga. So, in one of the Puranas, the Lord says, by my sweet will, I will place him on Garuda's shoulders and bring him unhindered to the supreme abode without any need for the path of Archiradi, he says. So for the unalloyed devotees who do not have any secondary abhilashas, for them, the Lord comes, picks him up. Tesha maham samuddarta mrityu samsara sagarat. Bhavami nachirat partha maya veshita chetasam. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you see, I think it's in Bhagavad Gita, the photo that is given is Krishna is coming, traveling on the path of Garuda and picks up that conditioned soul who is, you know, in the ocean of material existence, and he picks him up, places him on the shoulder of Garuda, and then he flies, goes back to the Vaikuntha, like that. So he says, this is for those people who perform Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti. For them, they don't have to go through this Archiradi Marga. They directly go. Is it clear? Okay. Yogeshwaranam Gatimahurantar Bahistrilokya Pavanantaratmanam Nakarma Bhistam Gatimapnuvanti Vidyatapo Yoga Samadhi Bhajam. It is mentioned, they say, Ahuhu, Yogeshwaranam, that these great yogis, Pavanantaratmanam, Antaratma is subtle body, Pavanantaratmana means, who possess these subtle bodies which can move, just like air can move anywhere, so these people can move anywhere they want within the universe. So who are these people? Are they just sense gratifiers? No. Vidya, they worship the Lord. Tapo, they follow the Dharma. And Yoga, they practice Ashtanga Yoga. And they also have practiced some element of Jnana Yoga also. Samadhi Bhajam. Vidya, Tapo, Yoga, Samadhi Bhajam. They are proper spiritual practitioners. They are not ordinary people. They are not just sense gratifiers who want to enjoy. Okay? Antar Bahistrilokya, they can go anywhere inside and outside the universe according to their will. Natam Gatim Karmabir Apnuvanti, and they do not attain these places on the strength of their karma. So on what strength do they attain these places? Vidya Tapo Yoga Samadhi Bhajam. By their practice, which includes some elements of Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and some karma also they perform. Kriyavasane, it is mentioned, Kriyavasane means they do not give up their prescribed duties also. Some So till they had their body in the bhuloka, they were practicing some varnashram dharma also they were practicing. Some elements of jnana, some elements of ashtanga yoga, some elements of varnashram dharma and some bhakti also they were practicing. So they do not attain these planets on the strength of their karma alone. So therefore, they can stay there as long as they want. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes, Srila Vishnajagat Thakur mentions, though the yogis may enjoy, that is not the same as sense enjoyment by the karmis in these planets. They can go inside and outside the universe because they have subtle bodies. They worship the Lord, they follow the rules of the Lord, and they practice Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana as well. So therefore, these are like serious practitioners. Just that they can't give up those secondary desires, that's all, immediately. But they gradually give that up also by going to these planets. Srila Prabhupada writes, one can move within and beyond the universe either by devotional service, as in the case of Narada Muni, or by mystic yoga, as in the case of Durvasa Muni. But gross materialists who have gross bodies cannot move anywhere. What aspect of this verse is Prabhupada commenting on here? Pavanantaratmanam. He is addressing the section Pavanantaratmanam. And certainly not at the speed of these transcendentalists. They can't move at this speed like that. Okay. So now, his various destinations or intermediate destinations are described. Vaishvanaram yati vihaya sagatah shushum naya brahma patena shochisha viduta kalkota hare rudastat prayati chakram rupashayishumaram. O king, the yogi having gone by the path of Brahmaloka. Path of Brahmaloka means the last destination is Brahmaloka. Therefore it is called Brahma Pata. That path in which Brahmaloka also comes like that. Like for example, you may say in Vrindavan, I want to go to Madan Mohan. I can go to Madan Mohan temple in the Parikrama Marg also I can go. Or I can go in the opposite side and go to like Banke Bihari and from there also I can reach. So one may say, Prabhuji, I am coming to Madan Mohan. So one may ask, which way Prabhu? Through Parikrama Marg or through Banke Bihari Marg? Like that. So, this is called Brahma Pata because ultimately it leads to liberation but through the Brahma Loka or Satya Loka here. The yogi having gone by the path of Brahma Loka goes to Vaishvanara. So Vaishvanara is the first planet. It's some kind of a swarga. By means of ether, through the luminaries of the Shushumna Nadi, being free of all desires, he then approaches the Shishumar constellation. That is the next. So being free of all desires means he gives up desires which are according to that particular planet. That level of desires he gives up. And that aspect of the subtle body also he gives up. He goes to the next planet, enjoys there. And then he gives up those desires. Some more aspect of the subtle body he gives up, goes to the next planet, he enjoys there. And then he gives up those desires and some more part of that subtle body he gives up. Like that, he gives up subtler and subtler desires he gives up and finally attains liberation. Like that. So first is mentioned is Vaishvanara Loka. Then he goes to the Shishumar constellation. Shishumar is the place where the it's like a vertical constellation. It starts from the Dhruva Loka, the nose of that Shishumar. Shishumar means a dolphin. It is the shape of a dolphin. The nose of that Shishumar is in Dhruva Loka. And then starting from Dhruva Loka till its tail, it's all some different various kinds of swargic planetary systems are there. like that. Then tadvishvanabhim twativartya vishnor aniyasa virajenatmanaikah namaskritam brahma vidamupaiti kalpayisho yadvibudaramante. Surpassing the navel of Vishnu. So this Shishumar is called the navel of Vishnu. In that whole Vishwaroop, the Shishumar area of that planetary system, it comes in the navel area of that Vishnu. Therefore, this Shishumar is called navel of Vishnu. Generally, there is some swargic planets. Surpassing the navel of Vishnu, the area of Swarga, with his very subtle pure body, he alone arrives at the worshipable Maharloka. I think some haldi and all those things is getting burning. So I think you may close the door. So he arrives at the Maharloka. So Boor, Boor, Swarga, then comes Maharloka. So and then he stays in Maharloka for some time. But he can't stay there for long. Because in Maharloka, after every day of Brahma, till Swargaloka everything is burnt. So he is in Maharloka, which is one floor above Swargaloka. So let's say if you are in the fourth floor, and if there is some fire burning in the third floor, people in the fourth floor will feel the heat. So these yogis feel the heat at Maharloka, till Swargaloka when everything is burning. So they say, okay, now we will go ahead. From Maharloka they go to Janaloka, then Tapaloka, then eventually reach the Swarga, Satyaloka, like that. Ato anantasya mukana lena dandahyamanam sanirikshya vishvam niryati siddheshvara yushtadishnyam yadvai parardhyam taduparameshtyam. After this, seeing the three worlds burning because of the fire emanating from the mouth of Ananta, he departs for Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka is Satyaloka actually, which lasts for two parardhas. Two parardhas is the two halves of life of Brahmaji. And where there are flying vehicles used by perfected beings. So finally he reaches the 13th destination, which is Satyaloka, the abode of Brahma. Okay. What is the nature of this Brahmaloka or Satyaloka? Nayatra shoko najarana mrityur nartir nachodvegar te kutaschit yachittatoda kripayanidam vidam duranta dukkha prabhavanu darshanad. In Brahmaloka, nayatra shoko najarana mrityur. There is no lamentation, no old age, no death. Actually, in one sense, it's all in one sense relative. Relative only. Like for example, even the demigods are called Amaras, means eternal. But it means compared to the people living on earth, their lifespan is very long. But that does not mean that they live eternally also. So similarly, this is all in a relative sense.
So when Brahmaji is going to the spiritual world, all they are going with Brahmaji.
Yeah.
So are they leaving their body or?
Yeah, they give up their body and leave. Yeah. How they leave also is described in the next few verses. Okay. Where there is no lamentation, old age, death, suffering or fear. But except one suffering is there. When they see people in the lower planetary system suffering due to birth, death, old age, disease, due to great compassion, they suffer. on seeing the influence of insurmountable suffering on the living entity is ignorant of the path of the Vaishnava yoga, they suffer. So seeing out of compassion they suffer. Otherwise there is no suffering. As Brahmaji also in the third canto in one of his prayers he says, Kshutra tridatu birima muhurardyamana shitoshna vata varshair itaretaraccha kamagninachyuta rushacha sudurbarena sampashyato mana urukrama sidateme. He says, my dear Lord, my mind becomes greatly disturbed on seeing these living entities who are constantly suffering from hunger, thirst, etc. Like that Brahmaji says. But otherwise there is no suffering in Satyaloka. Lecture. In the mind, seeing the suffering of others. Like that.
Those are in higher planets, like demigods and others. Like, so they can see what's happening in this Bhuloka?
Some of them, they do have that capacity. Yeah, they can see. Some of them can see. I don't know if everyone can see. Some of them can see. And it's not attractive to them. Except for those who are practitioners of pure devotional service, they get attracted. They say, oh, in this Swargaloka, there is so much sense gratification, I am not able to concentrate. I would rather take birth as a human being in Bharatvarsha, so that I can practice bhakti, like that they feel.
Tato vishesham pratipadya nirbhayas tenatmana ponala murtiratvaran jyotirmayo vayumupetya kale vayvatmana kambrhadatma lingam.
So after reaching Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, he has two options. He can enjoy there till the end of Brahmaji's life, and after Brahmaji's life, when Brahmaji attains liberation, he also attains. Or if he wants to leave before that also, if he feels, oh, okay, I am satisfied, now I want to leave, then he reaches the earth layer, is outside the universe, first layer. So there he get an earthly body where he can enjoy the sense of smell, like we are smelling. So the sense object related to earth is smell. The sense object related to water is taste. The sense object related to air is touch. The sense object related to fire is form. The sense object related to ether is sound. Okay. So when he reaches the layer of earth, he gets a body made of earth by which he can perfectly experience the sense of smell. After that, he gives up that body, he gives up that desire and moves to the layer of water, where he gets a watery body by which he can perfectly experience the sense of taste. Then he gives up that, then goes to the layer of fire, where he gets a fiery body. He experiences a sense of form perfectly, then gives up that body, goes to the layer of air, where he gets an airy body and experiences the sense of touch, gives it up, moves to the layer of ether, where he experiences the sense of sound, then he gives it up and moves on ahead to the layer of false ego, then to the layer of mahatattva, then to the layer of pradhan, and finally gives up all of that and enters Brahmajyoti and attains liberation. That is what in the next 2-3 verses, that's what we are going to see. Okay, I will just read the translation. Then he attains the layer of earth without fear, with a body of earth. Then the layer of water with a body of water. And then the layer of fire with a body of fire. In time, he attains the layer of air with an air body. And then the layer of ether, which is worshipped as a form of Paramatma, Brihadatma Lingam. So here it is mentioned by Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur, if the yogi desires to stay in Brahmaloka till the end of Brahma's life, he attains liberation along with Brahma. But if he desires liberation before that, he pierces through the 7 coverings of the universe and enters Brahman. That's what is described here. Each of these coverings is 10 times the thickness of the previous covering of earth layer, which is 5 billion yojanas. He is devoid of any fear of suffering to the body from burning or other dangers as he gets an appropriate body. We may think, if he gets a fire body, will he not be burnt if he goes to the layer of fire? No, he gets a fiery body like that. But why does he get these different bodies at different layers? So that he can perfectly enjoy the sense object of that particular layer. Like that. Granena gandam rasanena vairasam rupam chadrishtya shvasanam tvachaiva shrotrena chopetya nabogunatvam pranena chakuti mupaiti yogi. The yogi attains smell, taste, form, touch and sound, as well as the actions of various action senses. When he goes to these different layers, he experiences those sense objects perfectly through that particular appropriate body that he gets. Sabhuta sukshmendriya sannikarsham manomayam devamayam vikaryam samsadhya gatya sahatena yati vijnana tattvam guna sannirodham. Then the yogi attains the layer of false ego, in which the sense objects, senses, mind and the sense devatas are merged into the gunas of tamas, rajas and sattva. So, the act of liberation is exactly opposite to the order in which creation takes place. So, in creation first pradhan is there. From pradhan, mahatattva is created. From mahatattva, false ego is created. From false ego, there are mind is created, intelligence is created, the 5 karmendriyas are created, the 5 jnanendriyas are created, the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether are created, the 5 sense objects, rupa, rasa, sparsha, gandha and shabda, touch, form, sound, taste and smell, they are also created. During liberation, it is in the opposite direction. So first, earth, water, fire, air, ether, they are first enjoyed and rejected. Then they are submitted into the false ego layer. Mind is given to false ego, intelligence is given to false ego, and the karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, all of which was created from false ego layer, they all are given back to false ego. Then false ego was created from Mahatattva, so it's offered back to Mahatattva. Mahatattva is created from Pradhan, so Mahatattva is offered back to Pradhan. And then Pradhan is deposited in the body of Mahavishnu and he goes and merges in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Is it clear? So it's just like, say, you are entering into a big factory. You want to see how they make DTs, let's say. You want to go to a foundry where they are making DTs. So, you go to the main gate where the security says, do you have permission? So, you give the permission letter and he says, okay, this is your temporary ID card, take it. So, you take the temporary ID card. Now, you move. You come to the second gate, where you say, though that I want to go to the actual factory area. You say, oh, you can't go to the factory. Oh, I see that you have the ID card. But you can't go to the factory area with your slippers. You need boots and overcoat. So he gives you the boot and overcoat. So he goes. He goes to the third gate. At the third gate is the foundry gate. So you want to go to the foundry. So you can't look at the molten metals like that. You need a goggle. So they will give you some special goggles to wear so that you can look at the molten metals. So he goes there. And he looks at all the process. And when he comes back, first he deposits the goggle at the third gate. Next he deposits his coat and boots at the second gate. and finally at the third gate he deposits his ID card and then leaves like that. So the process of creation and the process of liberation are exactly in the opposite order. Is it clear or is it not clear? Is it okay? So like that, that's what is happening here. Of course, when we, in the fifth chapter, when we discuss creation, it will become little more clearer. Tenatmanatmanam upaiti shantam anandam anandamayovasane etam gatim bhagavatim gatoyah savai punarneha visajjatenga. Interesting verse. He says, O king, he merges his swarupa along with pradhan into the blissful unchanging form of Mahavishnu. With that termination, he remains blissful. He who has attained this goal does not return to the material world. What is this goal that he is attaining? Explanation is coming, just wait. So Mahavishnu here refers to, I am reading the explanation. He says, this Brahman is full of bliss. So actually what is, he attains the supreme Brahman, the Adi Purusha, in his Swarupa along with the Pradhan. This Brahman is full of bliss and is beyond Prakriti. Actually it refers to Brahman. Okay. This is the abode of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Apparently it seems like the Karanodaka ocean is the same as Brahmajyoti. Then he merges into the Lord and does not return back. Into the Lord here refers to into the Brahmajyoti. Okay. Your mic is just in front of you.
You said that, you know, he merges with the Pradhan. No, sorry.
With the Pradhan. He merges
Pradhan
the...
Pradhan is with him.
Pradhan enters into the body of Mahavishnu.
Okay.
And he remains suspended in the Brahmajyoti, which is the bodily effulgence of Mahavishnu. Because all the while we have been seeing that his goal is Brahmajyoti only. So that living entity who is not yet qualified for liberation, he enters into the body of Mahavishnu, into the pores, during the time of annihilation. And at the time of creation, he comes out of the bodily pores of Mahavishnu and enters into individual universes. But this living entity who is attaining liberation, he does not go into the bodily pores of Mahavishnu, but he is suspended in the bodily effulgence of Mahavishnu, which is also called the body of Mahavishnu. Like that.
So, when he merges in the Pradhana, that means he has a body which is made of Pradhana.
He does not have. He deposits the Pradhan into the body of
Mahavishnu.
Mahavishnu.
Okay.
And he remains suspended in the Brahmajyoti.
So the soul remains there, right?
Soul, now. Only soul, without any covering. Because Pradhan is material. Can you pass the mic to Mataji?
Here the yogi attains blissful. He along Pradhan into blissful.
With that termination, he remains blissful. With that termination means with that attainment of liberation, he remains blissful.
Oh, there is no blissful at there. Because sat feature is only at Brahman.
One,
is only
Brahman has only sat feature. Meaning it does not have the ananda of the spiritual world, but it has some element of bliss which is absence of material miseries. That is there. So the Mayavadis call it Brahmananda, but we call it Brahma Sukha. There is no Ananda, we say. Because Ananda for us is here. For them, Ananda is here. So they call it Ananda, but we call it Brahma Sukha, like that. So like that. Is Prabhuji there? Kanai Krishna Prabhu? He has not come. Just keep the door open. Maybe he's just. So yeah, 10 minutes late. That's why I was wondering. See if Kanai Krishna Prabhu is there. Okay, in the meantime, we'll complete at least this section. One more verse remaining. So he who has attained this goal does not return to the material world. This is what I was telling in relation with the discussion that we had this morning. Okay. Okay. Last verse. Ete sritite nripaveda gite tvaya bipriste cha sanatane cha ye vaipura brahmana ahatushta aradito bhagavan vasudevah. So here he says that, O king, Vasudev. Oh, Prabhuji is here. Prabhuji, you are waiting for us to end or you are... Oh, acha. I thought, I didn't see you, so I was just continuing. So, just 1 minute, we are ending. So, he says, Vasudeva, after being worshipped and being satisfied, described to Brahma long ago these two eternal paths to attain Brahman described in the Vedas, which were asked by you. So, here Shukadeva Goswami is telling that, what I am speaking to you is not something new. Long time back when Brahmaji requested to the Supreme Lord Vasudev to explain these two paths, the Supreme Lord explained these two paths to Brahmaji. So he's giving some scriptural support to what he's telling. I am not speaking on my own. This has already been spoken. Like sometimes Krishna himself gives scriptural support in Bhagavad Gita. Rishibir Bahuda Gitam Chandobir Vividai Pratak Brahma Sutra Padais Cheva Hetu Madbir Vinishchitai, he says. That what I am speaking to you is nothing new about the Kshetra, Kshetragya and these subject matters. If you want more proof, then you can search the Upanishads and the writings of the great rishis and the Vedic scriptures. It is given in little more detail like that. So that brings us to the end of this section, Krama Mukti. So we have seen how the Paramatma meditating yogi directly attains mukti, whereas this Virat Roop meditating yogi, who is unable to give up his secondary desires, gradually gives up his subtle body and eventually attains the same destination we have seen. So tomorrow morning, on Monday, we will continue this discussion further and then move forward. Sorry for taking additional time. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.